just come before you this morning, Lord, and we are thankful for the old rugged cross. Lord, the place where you pardoned our sin, nailed it to a cross, gave us a way to salvation. Lord, we can never, ever, ever repay the debt that you paid for us, Lord. Lord, but I pray that you help us to live for you each day. Thanking you for what you did for us. Lord, help us to live a life that would lead others to that same cross, that they could come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for church this morning. Thankful for getting here safely. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would meet with us this morning. Lord, I pray you prepare each one of our hearts. The Holy Spirit can challenge us. They can give us a nugget of truth. They can give us something, Lord, that can help us to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would take over this service, Lord, that you'd be right in our midst. That everything we do and say here today, Lord, whether it be in the singing, the preaching, the praising, the fellowship afterwards, Lord, I pray it all be for your glory. Lord, we just thank you for that old rugged cross, Lord. We just thank you for what you're going to do here this morning in these services, Lord. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We have a seat for a moment. So I just want to bring up some announcements real quick this morning. Lord willing, this Tuesday, we'll pick back up with our free Bible study. Again, this Tuesday at 6. We'll try to keep it from 6 to 7:30. Lord willing as well, we'll have another dinner prepared for those that are coming. So this Tuesday, the 14th, from 6 to 7:30, we'll meet together again and just go through some stuff dealing just with grief, sorrow, depression, anxiety, and just how the Lord gives you a victory over it, or can give you victory over it. And there's just a lot. I know I say that week sound like a broken record, but a lot going on in a lot of people's lives and in the world, and a heaviness that, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just appears out of nowhere. Just a heaviness over you, and you don't know where it came from or what's going on with it. But Lord willing, this Tuesday, we'll continue on with our great Bible study. Lord willing as well, this Thursday again, hopefully we'll do a public outreach again. There's a man that I don't know if any of you have ever seen him before. His name's Eric. But he goes around different places around this Lehigh Valley area, Bethlehem, East in Allentown. He even goes down to Philadelphia and New York City, and holds up scripture signs as well. And I saw him back in January this year, and I stopped by to see him. He was out near Walmart holding up signs. And so when I saw him today, he was right near my house at the intersection of Union and Irving. And so I went up to him and I said, "Do you ever have issues with the police and saying you're panhandling?" And he's like, "Well, I've been doing this for 6 years, and..." He's like, "You have every right to be on the sidewalk here and to stand there and hold signs." He said, "I've dealt with it before, but they've got it cleared up." So, Lord willing, I want to try again, maybe not this week, but we're getting enough people coming out, sometimes 10, 11, 12 people, splitting up and trying to go in different areas. Just something as well, too, is where he was holding signs, right where Deerup High School is at. And so he was handing out a bunch of tracts to the kids coming out of the school, and the kids were readily pretty much receiving it when I was there with them. That's a blessing. To reach that younger generation there at that high school. So I want those that have been coming out and praying about it, especially the men, I'd like to at some point break it up into two groups now and maybe try to go to that intersection there, because that's a pretty big, busy intersection there at Union and Irving. My house is right there, so I wouldn't have to drive, so make it easy for me. No. But it is a busy intersection there. So he's talking about being on Grape Street, which is another busy area in this section. I believe there's a testimony to it. Those that I've said before that don't receive tracts, but they're going to read those signs. And you know they're reading them because then they cuss you out. You know, it's amazing how God works. Not this past week, but the other Thursday we were out there at Front and Pine Street. And we've had other people coming out. So some people go down to that other intersection, Bridge. Was it Bridge in Front, or is that Bridge in Front where you walk? And so somebody drove past where Brother Lynn and some others were down there and said something to them, and they came up to where I was at, and they looked over at me, and I don't forget if somebody was with me or not, and they were laughing at me. So then they took a right to go into past the gas station, took a right to go into the gas station. As they made that turn, they were making eye contact, I think, with Melanie and somebody else. Well, they took that turn too sharp, and they hit that water grate, and that curb blew out their tire. I said, ooh. Fools make a lock and sit on somebody's holding that sign. But there is no doubt, and the whole countenance of them three, I felt bad because there was a little kid in the car too. But it was, you know, I don't know if the Lord did it because they were mocking us. I have no idea. All I know is their tire blew out right in front of us. So people are definitely reading the signs. Again, if you can't come out, please keep that time of prayer 6 to 7 on Thursday nights, and God will just deal with souls. People just see the need of salvation and where they truly stand with God. And the last thing I want to bring up, I'm going to bring up in the Sunday morning hour as well. I'm going to change the meeting that I have. It's not a business meeting. I'm just going to throw a few things out there to the members. One of them being the incorporation and unincorporation. I found out some more information this week just studying that there is a way we can still stay unincorporated and the members still be protected. But I'm doing a little more research into it. It's something that I would say 10 to 15 states in the United States have passed a law protecting unincorporated institutions. So I'm doing a little more research into that, and we might just be able to just apply for that. Pennsylvania just adopted it not too long ago. Thank the Lord for that. And so I'm doing a little more research in that, and we may be able to stay along those lines there with that. So that's something I'm going to bring up. I'm going to move it to this today, the 19th. We're going to have a little meeting after church services, and then we'll just throw a few things out there to think on, and then we'll meet again in another couple of weeks. The reason for that is I'm having a missionary come in, Anil Javi. He's a missionary to Pakistan, and he moved to the States in 2003 with his parents, and he got married, and the Lord's just really, he got saved. He was raised Muslim, some Buddhism, I forget the other religion that he was a part of. God saved him, and now God's dealing with him about going back to his own people there in Pakistan and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And what a blessing it is with him is he has no issue coming in and out, and he knows two of the languages already there because he was raised there, plus English. So I'm going to have him, he's going to come in with us and meet with us the 26th, so I'm just going to bump our meeting up to the 19th, just so you know that there. Keep Brother Gilmore, Pastor Gilmore prayer, he came home from the hospital, and Brother Mike Cooper, keep him in prayer. I guess he goes in Tuesday for his bypass surgery, so just if you remember, keep him in prayer as he goes into surgery on that Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Amen. If you take your hymn book again, let's just sing one more song, page number 390, page number 390. Page 390. If you're able to stand, page 390. Love lifted.
Despair and pride.
this week?
Just we missed Johan last
week. Johan and his boy, somebody there. He's in the grace of his hand. Get your birthday, brother. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing happy birthday to them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen. Let's go over our memory verses here this morning. Page number 11 in the little red memory books we got here. Page number 11. This morning we'll be looking at the second thing to memorize. Let's say it all together. We'll start with the first one. Assurance of an inward witness. Romans 8:16.
The Spirit bears witness with our spirit
that we are the children of God. Assurance given by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Amen. Amen. Children, can you dismiss Sunday school? Amen. Sunday school.
That is, what else got a few people in the church talking about how their ears are all clogged up.
I'll tell you what, my ears are still clogged up. Mess with your equilibrium. Amen. Let's go back to here, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to continue on here and look at this last thing that's listed in verse number 12. Genesis 2 and verse number 12. Actually, I'll pick up in verse number 11. Genesis 2, verse number 11. The Bible says, the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. Let's go ahead and pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you just be glorified today. I pray you be lifted up and honored. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look at your word. Open our eyes, open our ears to receive what you'd have for us this morning, Lord, that we would glorify you, that we would praise you. And Lord, that Father, we would draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, help these precious brethren, Lord. Thank you for getting us here safely. And Lord, just help us to honor you. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at Delium and how it's something that you can burn that puts off a sweet incense. And the week before that, we looked at gold and how God here in his word, for whatever reason. Now, I believe this. I believe that every word in scriptures is there for a reason. Okay, God just doesn't put something there for no reason at all. Growing up, I didn't know anything about the Bible or the Bible issue. And I just went off of what I was taught. I respected the Bible because my parents taught me to respect the Bible and the church taught me to respect the Bible. But I remember growing up and individuals saying, well, the only words you really got to pay attention to in the Bible are the red ones, because those are the ones that Jesus spoke. And the black words, you really ain't got to worry about them too much because that's not what Jesus said, but the words in red, you really got to. Now I realize, no, there's a reason why God puts things in his word. And you could take this same principle with your life. There's reason why God does specific things in your life. Even at the time, it doesn't make no sense. You don't understand why this is happening, why you're going through something, why this incident happened, or why this person said something. But if God, look, if you're walking in the will of God and you're saved, you know there is a reason for everything that occurs in your life. And I take that same principle as you look here in Genesis chapter number 2. I don't know how many times I've read through these scriptures and didn't think nothing of the gold, the delium, or the onyx stone. I was like, that's just what it says. Keep going. Let's get to Adam and Eve and how they rebelled against God in the garden. But these three things, gold, delium, and the onyx stone, I think they're coupled together.
We read a few weeks ago about how Jesus in Revelation says he counsels of us to buy gold tried in the fire. And then we looked last week how delium, when delium is put in the fire, it puts off a nice fragrance. And we looked at how when God puts us through fires and trials and temptations in our life, God not only desires for us to make it through it, but as we go through it, we put off a sweet fragrance, a sweet odor as we're being tried, as we're being tempted, as we're going through that hard trial. It's just not enough to go through it. It's to go through it with the right attitude. That's the hard part. That is the hard part, is having a right attitude. An attitude of patience. An attitude of long-suffering. An attitude of graciousness. An attitude of mercy. Those are what God desires to put off that smell into his nostrils, which would be a sweet smell to him. The last thing it says here, before we look into that, I want you to hold your hand there in Genesis 2, because we're going to come back and look there. I want you to look at Isaiah number 1, the book of Isaiah, and chapter 1. Now, I was talking to a brother last week about this. You read through the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. I don't know about you, but the times I read through it recently, it's almost like I'm reading about the United States of America. You could read portions of those scriptures and just the U.S. fits right into it. And so one thing that God's been just hammering home to me lately is this, to make sure that what I offer up to him, he'll accept it. We looked at it last week, how you can bring a sacrifice to God like Cain did, and God didn't accept it because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. And then you can even bring a blood sacrifice and God still not accept it because it's got an issue with it. All right, look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now he's talking to Israel. He's talking to Jude. He's talking to God's people, and he refers to them as Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hands to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I can away with. It's iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. How many churches today does that describe? Your hands are full of blood. Vain oblations, prayers, incense lifted up to God, but they're tainted with sin within the church. They're tainted. And God won't accept it. The Bible says in Psalms, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, thou wilt not hear me. If there is iniquity in my heart, God says, I won't hear you. You see, I don't know about you, but my desire is we come together as a church for God to hear us corporately as a church when we sing these songs to him, when we praise him, when we glorify him, and when we pray, that our offerings and our lifting ups unto him will be acceptable in his sight. That God won't look at us and say, I'm tired with your assemblies, I'm tired with your meetings, I'm tired with your sacrifices. Why? Because your heart's not in it. See, God is always looking at the heart. You know, Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, offered thousands of goats. Sometimes when I read through how many animals they killed, I can't imagine what today's society would have thought of it. You imagine how much blood that was shed with some of those times where they were offering thousands of rams and thousands of sheep all at the same time. How many carcasses of those animals that they had to take care of and deal with, and all that blood that was shed. And God got to a point where God says, don't bring me no more sacrifices. God says, I want your heart. The heart. I want your spirit to be right. I want you to do it not just because you have to do it, but because you want to do it. God doesn't want us just going through the motions. God wants us to be in the motions towards him because we love him. Verse number 16 in Isaiah. Look what God tells him. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil from your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be as white as snow, though they be red as like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Obedience. God desires obedience in our life. Obedient to what, preacher? Obedient to his word. Now, we're going to look at it. It's interesting today how all three messages, this morning, the morning message, and then tonight, kind of go together. Looking at this thing of loving God and loving one another, and then also this thought of being about good works. Good works. We're going to look today as we go through. If you're here for all three services, you're going to see this theme about being about good works. So, preacher, what are good works? Whatever God lays on your heart to do for him. Look what God tells these people here, his people. Verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Being about things that help others in whatever way God leads and directs you to do so. I believe this is your pastor now this morning. If you're breathing this morning, you're able to walk around and you're not stuck in a bed, that there's something that you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is it? I have no idea. I don't know what it is. But I believe there's plenty out there to do in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the onyx stone. You had gold that's good in the land. Then you had delium, which for whatever reason God put that in there. And I believe it's because it's to represent what we offer up to him to be sweet smelling. And then it says, and the last thing it says, and the onyx stone. Now you're going to find the mention of the onyx or the onyx stone only in the Old Testament of the Bible. In the New Testament, when you look in Revelation and the foundation there and all those stones, chalcedony is mentioned instead of onyx. Onyx is a pellucid gem with variety colored zones or veins, a variety of chalcedony, which is what you're going to see in the New Testament. Chalcedony is a subspecies of quartz, a mineral called also white agate, resembling milk diluted with water and more or less clouded or opaque with veins and spots. If you look up onyx stones, they are very beautiful. Now, the way they polish them up, sometimes they use them in watches, they use them in jewelry. They're very beautiful, and the majority of stones that you're going to see that are onyx are black in color. The problem today is there's a lot of fake onyx stones out there today because they can dye stones certain ways to make it look like it's onyx, but it's actually a fake. So onyx stones, black in color, and it said that they're very hard to break. An onyx stone's very hard to break because of the way it's made. Take your Bible and look at Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 7. We're going to find here in these verses that onyx stones were used in a high priestly garment, the onyx stone. Look at Exodus chapter 25 and verse number 7. Exodus 25, verse number 7. Every mention in the Old Testament referring to the onyx stone has something to do with the priestly garment, the high priestly garment. Exodus 25, verse number 7. It says, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. All right, take your Bible, flip over to chapter 28. Exodus 28, verse 9. Exodus 28, verse 9 through 12 here. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and on the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So they would take two onyx stones, I don't know the size of them, but they were large enough to where an engraver engraved the 12 names of the tribes of Israel in their birth order, six on one side, six on the other, and they were put in ouches of gold on top of the high priestly garment, and Aaron was to bear the names as a memorial unto the Lord upon his shoulders. This morning, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne all for us upon his shoulders. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53. The high priest, Aaron, was to bear the names of all the children of Israel before the Lord always as a memorial before God. Aaron bore the names of the children of Israel upon his shoulders. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 4. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. You know, brethren, I said it earlier. There's things going on today. That are weighing heavy on a lot of individuals' shoulders. And last night was rough. Mel and I were talking about it. Last night was a rough night. Rough. To me, there's things going on. There's something going on. Now, I'm not up here saying that I'm something super spiritual and I got an insight into the spiritual realm and all. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you've walked with God before and you have a walk with God, there's times where things are heavier than other times. And usually, over the last 20-some years of being saved, usually when those times occur, that means something usually is going on in somebody's life. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm saved and I have a Savior that can bear my burdens. That I have a Savior that can bear my burdens. Look, just because you get saved doesn't now mean that the life you now live and the path that you walk is a bed of roses. In reality, I believe this, that when you get saved and the closer you try to get to the Lord, the harder it's going to get. And if you're not walking with God and staying in His Word, sometimes we forget to give our burden to the Lord. Sometimes we like to carry it. It's a security. It's a lot harder to just say, Lord, it's yours. Because the devil will come in then and say, well, you're just acting kind of flippant, aren't you? Aren't you kind of acting a little flippant, like you're just taking it for granted? Well, no, the Bible says to cast all your care upon him. I'm reading a very good book Charles Spurgeon wrote on Christian warfare, the spiritual warfare of a saint. And he made this statement, a preacher said, he brought up a preacher one time, and he said this preacher was preaching, he was talking about burdens, and he gave this analogy of this man walking down the dirt road, and he had this huge backpack or pack on his shoulders, heavy burden. And this man came riding by with a horse, and he says, you going this way? The man says, yeah, I'm going this way. He said, well, you want to ride? I'll help you out. Looks like you're really weighed down. He said, yeah, I'll be more than willing. I'll take you up on that opportunity. And he said, well, hop on up here. So he pulled him up on the horse, and the man still kept that huge bag upon his shoulders, weighing him down. And they're riding along, and the rider eventually at some point looks back and says, why are you still carrying that bag? Well, you know, I can't, He's like, let go of that thing. He's like, either way, I'm still carrying a weight. Why don't you get it off the shoulders and let my horse do the work? And he was saying a lot of individuals come to Jesus Christ with their burdens, but they come to him and they rest in him, but they're still carrying the burdens on their back instead of relieving it and let him carry it for you. It's like getting on that horse, carrying that huge pack on your back when you can just let it off and drape it off on the side of the horse, let him carry it and you at the same time without you trying to bear it while you're on the horse, if that makes sense this morning. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay it at the altar and say, Lord, here it is. I can't bear this burden. And if I keep on bearing it, it's going to drive me into the ground. You see, Aaron bore upon his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. And when I realized that, I said, Lord, what a weight it must have been on Moses and Aaron and the responsibility of the children of Israel. You see it as you read through their wanderings in the wilderness, the weight that was upon Moses. I couldn't imagine trying to lead over 1 million people through the wilderness, and I'm the one responsible for doing it with God leading the way. And Aaron, even though he messed up there in the beginning, just the responsibilities of a high priest for that whole nation would have weighed heavy on him if they didn't learn to give it to God. And eventually it caught up with Moses, to where he spoke unadvisedly with his lips, and it cost him going into the promised land. You see, he was bearing it rather than letting God bear it for him. I'm glad this morning that we have a Savior that we can take our burdens to, we can lay it at his feet, and we can say, Lord, you take this. God, I can't handle it. Lord, I said, Lord, I can't handle these thoughts coming into my mind. God, I need you to take them captive for Jesus' sake, Lord, because I can't handle these thoughts. I was walking down the alleyway with Chap, I said, Lord, take these things. God, I can't handle them. I can't handle these plaguing thoughts in my mind. God, I need you, Lord. Please, God, take these things from me. See, this morning we can't handle it in our flesh. We can't handle the burdens of this life and trying to live for God in our own mere flesh. We got to have God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sustain us and help us through it. Just as Aaron bore those names upon his shoulders, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, will bear your burdens upon his shoulders. And he's already done so. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he hath borne. What does the word borne mean? It means carry. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Grief and sorrow. The word grief means this. We've looked at it before. The pain of mind produced by loss, misfortune, injury, or evils of any kind. Sorrow, regret. Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Look down at verse number 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You see born, you see carried, and in verse number 5, you see upon. All these things were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that you now can rest in him. So that you don't have to bear and carry these burdens of grief, of sorrow. He took the chastisement that we deserved upon himself. We don't need to beat ourselves up. Now the Bible says in Corinthians, if any man judge himself, he need not be judged. We're to judge ourselves in this sense to make sure there's no sin in our life. And if there is, get it right and under the blood of Jesus Christ. But we don't need daily beat ourselves up because of how unworthy we feel. The devil will jump all over on that thing and he'll pound you so hard you'll just want to quit and walk away. There's some Christians, if they're honest with themselves, they'll say, the devil's come up there and said, just put the gun in your head and pull the trigger. What worth it? Why is it even worth trying to go through these struggles? just end it all. And there's Christians who have gotten to that point, and sadly, there's been Christians who have taken that point. Buster Seaton, good preacher, took his own life years ago. Nobody realized the things that he was struggling with. You see, one thing I'm realizing, I'm going to bring it up in the grief class, is this is one of the ways the devil works. You get together with individuals and you feel comfortable enough to open up about some things that you're struggling with. And what the enemy does then afterwards is beat you up because you opened yourself up to others. Well, you're just an idiot. Look at you. You're the only one going through this. Everybody's going to make fun of you now. Look how unspiritual you are because you're the only one going through these things. The enemy jump all over you on that. And you have to realize if you open yourself up to somebody about something you're struggling with, you have to be aware that later on the enemy, chances are, is going to come in and pound you because of you opening up yourself. Because you made yourself vulnerable. But a lot of reasons why a lot of individuals don't open up, in some, I'm not saying all instances, but in some, it's a case of pride. I don't want to reveal that I have a problem in my life. I want it to look like I'm always super spiritual and nothing ever goes wrong in my life. That's pride. Because guess what? Something goes on in all of our lives at some point. There's none of us on this super high spiritual plane that nothing ever touches us. That's a lie. No, if we're honest, if we're honest and you're living for God, there's going to be times you're going to feel worthless. But you have to realize you're not basing it upon what you are before Jesus Christ. You're basing it on what he's done for you. He's borne it all for you. Give it to Jesus Christ. He bore the punishments for us. He bears our griefs. He bears our sorrows. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Real quick, side little rabbit trail here. Somebody starts yelling at you. Somebody starts persecuting you. Somebody starts making fun of you because of the cause of Jesus Christ. Do not answer back. Well, I'll tell you. Just take it. You're holding up those scripture signs. Somebody comes by, flips you the finger, says Jesus is the devil, Satan. Amen. Keep going. Don't revile back. Look, the Lord, the Bible says here that Jesus didn't revile back. He suffered when he was threatened. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Actually, when people yell at me when I'm trying to do the cause of Christ, I've asked God to soften my heart to feel sorry for that individual. Because usually if somebody's responding back to you doing something concerning the gospel, usually there's probably something spiritual going on and there's a battle for that individual's soul. Somebody just drives by, they don't say anything. But somebody gets pricked in the heart and responds back to the gospel or scripture, there's a spiritual battle taking place now. Something pricked their heart about something and God's dealing with them about it and they know some truth. May my heart be softened towards that individual rather than laughing at him. I got thinking about it later on. I said, well, Lord, you probably would have brought it up to me. But I got thinking. I said, man, Lord, I should have done that after I got thinking when that man busted his tire out. At first, I was like, ooh, yeah. But then I thought, man, I wish I would have went over there and offered to pay for his tire. Think about what that might have done. Do you see how the Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to react? Think what a testimony it would have been. I thought about it later. I said, Lord, what if I'd have went over there and said, hey, I'll give you $100 to pay for your tire. Sorry that happened. That's true Christianity. That's Christianity that will grip a hold of that heart. That's Christianity, not necessarily that man gets saved, but it definitely deal with him about it. That's the Christianity Christ desires for us to live. You see, when someone yells at me, my pride gets lifted up because I take it as an affront to myself, but if I realize it's not an affront to me, it's an affront to Jesus Christ. They're not yelling at me. They're not mocking me. They're not giving me the middle finger. They're giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they did 2,000 years ago when he went to the cross of Calvary. And when I can realize that, when I can see it for what it is, there's power in it. You don't think the Lord, when he took it as a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. You don't think that thing drove Pilate crazy? I believe it drove Pilate insane in his mind, especially when his wife come up to him and say, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man." And Jesus isn't answering back. Jesus isn't trying to justify himself. Jesus isn't trying to find a way to get out of being killed. What kind of man is this? Is it that is just accepting this cruelty is about to be put upon him? There's power in it. Verse number 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24 now, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He bore upon his shoulders, he bore upon his body our sin. The Bible said he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look over at chapter 3, same book, 1 Peter. Look over at chapter 3, look at verse number 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The just for the unjust. He bore it all for us. Look at Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. Romans 3:24. That high priest bore upon his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. And today the Lord Jesus Christ bears us upon his shoulders. He knows all of our names. He cares for us. He loves us. He is for us. And he desires for us to draw closer to him in righteousness, to love him more in righteousness. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Look over at chapter 4, verse 25. Who was, Romans 4, 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He bore our griefs, he bore the chastisement of our peace was upon him, because the Bible says here, Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let Jesus bear your burdens, your trials, your griefs, your sorrows. You are justified through him. You are now made the righteousness of God in him. Let him take it. Stop carrying it yourself. As I'm preaching that, look, I sit right here with you talking to me. How many times I want to pick it up and I want to carry it? No, God, let it down, let it alone, let it alone. It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. So the Lord keeps, it's not you, it's me. Give it to me, let me carry it. You can't handle it. He justified us. This morning, if you're saved, you are justified. When Christ Jesus and the Father look at you this morning, it's as if you've never sinned. You are clear before Him this morning. You are justified in Him this morning. And you have victory. There's victory to be obtained through Jesus Christ. We don't have to consistently live in a state of burden. Hard to get to that point to where you learn to just give it to Him. Last verse, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It's some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans 5, verse 6 through 10. For when we were yet without strength. Brethren, if you couldn't bear it when you're lost, what makes you think you can bear it when you're saved? You can't bear it when you're lost. You can't bear it when you're saved. You can't bear it. Look, take it. From when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But glory to God, verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God. When we were enemies, when we were against the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were against God the Father, when we were at enmity between Him and us, there was enmity, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what love is? That is love. Christ Jesus, that He personifies love. He was willing to take upon Himself the sins of all mankind and not just take it upon Himself to become sin. The Holy One, the one that always only knew holiness and fellowship with the Father, He was willing to have separation for a moment of time from the Father because He bore our sins that we for eternity may never be separated from the Father. Do you see this morning what you have in Jesus Christ? What I have in Jesus Christ is sinless perfection and justification and redemption because of Christ. There's victory in that, and we can grab a hold on it, that is taken care of through the blood of Christ. He can bear it for us. He can take it for us. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I'm going to close here this morning. Next week, Lord, when we're going to look a little more into this, Aaron bore those names as a memorial before the Lord Jesus, before God the Father. In the tabernacle, as he went in there, he bore the names of the children of Israel upon his shoulders as he ministered as a high priest before them, as he brought in the sacrifices, and as he made an atonement for the children of Israel one time a year. He bore those names consistently upon his shoulder for the children of Israel. And today, let Jesus Christ bear your burdens. Put it upon His shoulders. Let Him carry it for you when you can't carry it for yourself. Give it to Jesus. Let Him be your comforter. Let Him be your strength. Let Him undergird and lift you up. Let Him be your sure foundation that your foot doesn't slip. You see, the devil knows that he can't take away your salvation. You're eternally secure in Jesus Christ. Your redemption's final. You've been justified through Jesus, all right? You're eternally secure in Him. And that's the only thing that can keep you eternally secure. If you rely upon yourself to keep your salvation, well, you were lost the day you got saved. Because you can't keep it. There's no way you can keep your... You cannot justify yourself. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that justifies you. All right? So you have justification with Him. Let Him carry the load. I'm going to close with this thought. The devil knows this. He can't take your salvation. You have eternal life, you have eternal life. There's nothing that can take it from you. But one thing the devil tries to do, though, is to get you to quit. You see, he can't take you out of the race, but he can do things to try for you to take your own self out of the race. He can't do it. He can't come in and just pull you out of the race. No, but he can cause things to happen by God's will to try to get you to a point to where you say, you know what, forget it, I quit, I'm done with this. I'm just going to go keep doing what I want to do and forget this nonsense of trying to live for God. And the devil's like, all right, I accomplished my mission. They took themselves out of the race. Not to where they lost their salvation. They took themselves out of the race. They took themselves out of the fight. They're not out there on the front lines no more. They've gone back to the back. We need Christians to get up on the front lines because there's souls out there to be saved. There's testimonies to be lived out in front of this lost and dying world. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for that gold that's in that land there in Eden. I thank you for that delium. Lord, I pray you'd help us, dear God, to desire to purchase that gold tried in the fire, Lord. And as we go through the fire, help us to be like that delium, Lord, to put up a sweet fragrance. And dear God, Lord, help us to realize as well, dear God, that when we're going through trials and temptations and things are just heavy upon us, dear God, in our minds and our hearts, Lord, help us to learn just to lay it upon your shoulders, to lay it at your altar for you to bear it, for you to carry it for us, Lord, when we can't carry it ourselves, dear God. Help us to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Lord, at times that we're weary, Lord, at times where we feel like just giving up, that it's not even worth it, Lord, help us to realize that Jesus Christ paid it all. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to love you. Help us to love one another and draw closer to you in these last days. And we just pray this now all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. One thing I wanted to put out too before we talk here a little bit. If you're interested, I'd like to try to start doing this. Now, you don't have to partake in it if you don't want to, but for the men, I've had some that wanted to pray before services, and sometimes if I disappear between here and the morning service, that's where I've gone to pray. So I've set up some chairs in this room right here. If you're interested here in about 5 minutes and you'd like to, we'll say just one or two people pray just for the services. If you want to come in there, if you're a man, come in there and pray real quick for our services. You're more than welcome, but that's where I disappear to sometimes before the 10:45, before we start preaching. So I just want to put that out there this week, that if you'd like to come in there and take part of it, you're more than welcome. Amen. Take a little time here and take a little break. Amen.